Well, good morning.
Good morning,
and happy 4th of July weekend. You know, this morning we actually get to wrap up our series that we've been doing called Thank God It's Monday, and it's a series on work. Now, I got to say, whenever we talk about work and especially the service industry in general, I got to say, is it just me or are people these days in public ruder than they used to be? Are they less patient than they were? Are they kind of have more of a chip on their shoulder, quick to say something inappropriate? I mean, after all, how many times have you been in a restaurant and just seen a server just get laid into for something that maybe they didn't even do? Or maybe it's an integrity thing whenever you go to the mechanic and they say, oh yeah, we totally fixed X, Y, and Z. And then you pull out of the garage and what's still happening? X, Y, and Z. And then now another thing on top of that, right? Or my gosh, have you flown in the past, I don't know, 15 years? What an experience that is, right? I mean, after all, not only do you have the customers who are just absolutely impatient, but there's always a chance of you having your flight canceled or your luggage lost. But I gotta say, the worst of all, the most dreadful thing for me to do is to call customer service. Oh my gosh, I will do anything before calling customer service. I will Google the issue. I will, if it's an internet provider, I'll try to log onto my account to try to figure it out. Maybe I can just do it online. But there's always that time when you have to call customer service. And so my favorite was a couple years ago, this is an actual recording, this guy was calling Comcast and was trying to cancel his service. And it was, I swear, harder to cancel the service than breaking up with the girlfriend. And so I have a 30-second clip that was a 20-minute conversation. So go ahead and listen to this.
Okay, we'd like to disconnect. We'd like to disconnect, please.
Understand why you don't want faster internet.
Help me understand why you can't just disconnect us.
Because my job is to have a conversation with you about keeping your service, about finding out why it is that you're looking to cancel the service.
Please proceed to the next question, and we'll attempt to answer that if possible.
Right. So, I mean, being that we are the number one provider of internet and TV service in the entire country, why is it that you're not wanting to have the number one rated internet service, number one rated TV service available?
I'm declining to state we're switching providers. Can you please go to the next question?
Okay. So what is it about Astound that's making you want to change to them?
So it goes on like that for 20 minutes, I swear. And no, this was not on loop either. This was real. And my favorite was, he just gets to a point where he says, I just want bad service. You know, it's like, why would you want? That's what I want. I want bad service. And he actually gets to that point. But so here's the deal. Whenever we talk about this whole idea of work and being around other people just in general, whether it's at home or in public or at your place of employment, what Jesus calls us to do in the book of Matthew, he actually calls us to stand out. All right, he's actually calling us for us to be noticed. But here's the caveat, to be noticed in a good way, okay? Not in a, we're gonna record this phone call and make it go viral kind of way. He actually wants us to stand out in a positive way. And here's what he says, if we can be different than the norm, if we can go above and beyond, if we can stick out in that way, then the good news here is that we actually get to be a witness for God. Because people are going to see us, and they're going to notice that we're different. And people are going to start to wonder, you know, why is he really doing that? Why is he really going above and beyond? And so what Matthew 5:16, it says this. It says, Jesus says, let your light shine before men so that. So now let me pause here for a second. Anytime that you're in the Bible and it ever says, so that, it's basically like a red flag waving, saying, hey, pay attention, wake up, all right? Because what I'm about to say is really, really, really important. That's what a purpose clause does in the Greek here. It says, let your light shine before men, all right, so that, and here's what it gives the reason for, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So the purpose of going above and beyond in our workplace, the purpose of pursuing excellence is not just so that way people look at us and go, wow, look how good of an employee he is. or to say, give this guy a raise, all right? That's not the whole point of it. The point is actually to give God the glory. The people actually look at us and they see God in us, and it's God who is praised. It's not us that are praised, but rather it's God that is praised. Now, in Matthew 5 here in our reading, we read that we are to be two things. We are to be salt and we are to be light. Now, remember, salt, of course, flavors food. That's the basic seasoning, right? You got to add salt. And in fact, one of the cool things about salt, for those of you who, you know, watch the Food Network, is that they talk about how salt actually magnifies the food. So if you want a tomato to taste more tomato-y, you add just a little bit of salt and it's going to taste more tomato-y. You add too much salt and, well, you know. But just a little bit of salt, and it's going to taste more tomato-y. It's crazy how that works. But not only does salt flavor meat, but of course it preserves meat, right? Back before we had this modern invention of the refrigerator, people were getting sick from spoiled meat. And so you would add salt to it, and then now it's able to be preserved, okay? Light, especially a light, a city on a hill, that is to be a beacon of light. So you gotta understand that back then, again, before electricity and before streetlights, people would be traveling at night, and it was dangerous because there could be people hiding and you just couldn't see them. And so to be a city on a hill, to be able to shine a beacon of light would not only guide that person and where they're to go, but it's also safety and protection. Short story long, the reason I'm going into all this is because whenever God talks about Christians in the world and in the workplace being salt and light, it's a benefit, okay? It's not a negative thing. It's not a, oh man, that person's a Christian. Man, we're in trouble. No. It is salt and light, that we are to benefit those around us. We're to benefit our place of work. And the deal is that we are to excel in our work for the reason of God getting the glory. And so there are three qualities for people who excel. The first one's already on the screen. People who excel keep their word. If we go to the next slide here, Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says this: everyone who talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is. You know, if you look at Old Faithful, it's just a geyser. It's not the biggest one. It's not the best one even. But why is it so popular? It's because it's dependable. It's reliable. And so the greatest characteristic of Old Faithful is its dependability. And I would argue that one of your greatest characteristics is not necessarily the different talents or different things that you can do in a workplace, but just simply being dependable. And so the goal is that if people will look at you and they say, oh yeah, so-and-so, that's a dependable person. You know, that's someone that I can rely on. Whenever they say they're going to do it, they're actually going to follow through. They're actually going to do it. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:37. He says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever more than these is from the evil one. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. There shouldn't be any asterisks, conditions, clauses around it. Eventually get there. No, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, I got to say that I really admire President George W. Bush, and it's not just because he's a fellow Texan, but he was in a press conference several years ago when he was president, and he was just getting hammered by the media about the war in Iraq. And if you guys remember back then, he really did get hammered for that. But as this reporter, they were talking about the surge. They're talking about sending in additional troops to really help out these certain towns that England had already placed troops in. And this reporter just kept coming after W for sending more troops in. And W said, you know why we're going to do it? He said, we're going to do it because I gave Tony Blair my word that we're going to do it. And for me, I just marvel at that, that no matter what it cost, he gave his word. And his word is so powerful that it means something. And that's the thing that I just think that so much of our culture today, it's words are light. Words aren't worth anything. And people just throw it around, they toss it around, and promises are broken. But just to be that person that your word actually means something. Proverbs 25, verse 19 says this: depending on an unreliable person in a crisis is like trying to chew with a loose tooth or walk with a crippled foot. See, now part of this whole second point about keeping your word really has to do with this idea of integrity. Now, it's not necessarily only your words, but rather, of course, it transfers to your actions, right? The things that we do. And especially in the workplace, one of my favorite things is whenever people work really, really hard because they know that their boss is watching. And then if their boss leaves, then all of a sudden they check out. And so just to get your energy juices flowing a little bit and wake up a little bit, let's take a look at this next video here.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Mr. Delaney's office. Oh, hello, Mr. Delaney. If you're not feeling well, I'm sorry. Yes, I can have that ready for you, and you'll be stopping in to pick it up? Oh, you'll stop in tomorrow. And what about the big presentation today at 2 o'clock? Absolutely, I'll have them conference you in from home. Okay. Feel better, Mr. Delaney.
It's like everyone has their own set of golf clubs just ready for it. You know. So the second point here is that people who excel maintain a positive attitude. Maintain a positive attitude. Now, I got to say, especially in the workplace, I mean, the workplace is very stressful, right? I mean, there's going to be big changes. There's going to be a lot of pressure in your work. Maybe the boss is just a little bit cranky. And really, it's easy for people to go really negative. It's really easy for people to sit around and complain about that and to argue, especially with anyone, it seems like, and just to really get in kind of this dark place. And especially we got to watch out for the water cooler talk and how we talk about other people in the workplace, right? I believe there's a whole commandment on that about gossiping and spreading rumors and talking poorly about our brothers and sisters. And so really the second point here is just all about, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of hard times, that we're still to maintain a positive attitude. Philippians 2 even says this, do all things without grumbling or arguing so that you may be blameless, shining like lights in a dark world. So the purpose here is that we are to do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that, again, another purpose clause, so that we may be blameless, shining like lights in a dark world. Are you guys getting a theme here about shining our light and about people seeing that? See, now what's great about this section in Philippians 2 is that it actually just comes off of a section about how Jesus, even though that Jesus is lifted high, right? I mean, there should be no other name as high lifted as Jesus, right? Because after all, he's not just anybody, but he is God in flesh, right? He is the second member of the Trinity. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And so God or Jesus is lifted high, right? But it actually talks about how Jesus, for his love for us, actually lowered himself. And he actually humbled himself. He sacrificed himself all the way to the cross, that he suffered and he bled and he died. And then he rose from the grave. And then since then, he has now exalted. So he was humiliated, and now he is exalted. And Paul goes into that section in Philippians 2, not just so that way we can learn about Jesus, although it's great for that. But he goes into that saying that we are to be imitators of Christ in that way. That this is how we are to act, is that even if you are somebody who is like up there, even if you are a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, what God is calling you to do is to actually to be willing to lower yourself, to have this attitude of humility, this attitude of sacrifice, where not everything is me first, but you're actually putting other people first also. And so it's this idea of being willing to lower ourselves, being willing to sacrifice this humility attitude. And then the cool thing there is that as we do that, as we live our life sacrificially and humble, and then we're promised that God will raise us, that God will exalt us. And so then as soon as he says all that, then he goes right into Philippians 2, this verse here, about how we're to do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that we may be blameless, shining like lights in a dark world. See, the bottom line here is that the work environment can be stressful, and people around you may be incredibly negative, but don't give in to it. Maintain a positive attitude. And then if you did that, again, what a witness you'll be to those around you. The third thing here is that we are to, people who excel, do more than is expected. Do more than is expected. So Matthew 5:41, it says this, if anyone forces you to go a mile with him, do more. Go 2 miles with him. Now you may be reading this and going, well, what is this talking about? All right, well, so back in Jesus' times, the Roman army would be traveling, and whenever they would travel, I mean, it could be upwards of like 100 miles they would have to travel from one town to the next town. And so whenever they would pass through a town, what they would do is they would find anybody. It doesn't matter if it's a kid or, you know, an old person or whatever. They'd grab whoever they could, and by law, that person would have to carry their armor for 1 mile. Because after all, I mean, they're carrying it for like upwards of 100 miles, and so they just find someone to relieve them a little bit, to carry that burden for them. But you can imagine, and it's by law, you have to do it for an entire mile. So you can imagine that most people did that, grumbling and complaining. And what Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that if someone asks you to go 1 mile, don't just go the 1 mile, but go 2. And I got to tell you that if, as a Christian, if you were to do that to a Roman soldier, I mean, could you imagine the Roman soldier's response of just being blown away, just being grateful, and just having a hard time even understanding why someone would even do that? And that's what Jesus is calling here. And so, in other words, that to be such a good witness, to let our light shine to others so that way the Father is glorified. We live in such a society that everything is so minimal. Just do the bare minimum amount. Let someone else do it. I'm going to clock in. I'm going to clock out. And what if you change that attitude a little bit? What if you did go the extra mile? What if you did stay a little later and work a little extra harder in certain areas? What kind of witness would that be for the people around you who you serve? So Oscar Hammerstein is an author, and a few years ago he wrote this book called Lyrics. And in this book he tells this story about one time he was on a helicopter and he was flying over the Statue of Liberty. And he noticed that Lady Liberty actually has hair carved on her head. And so I know this is kind of a low-res image, but can you see it? There's actually hair carved on the head. And in fact, it's done with such a detail that it's not just the same detail, it is the same detail as like the eyes or the torch or the arm, that it's actually done with precision and a lot of care. And the reason that this struck him was simply because whenever the Statue of Liberty was made, there were not helicopters. There were not airplanes. In fact, the sculptors, there's no way they could possibly even fathom the idea of flying like that. And so to the sculptors who made the Statue of Liberty, they honestly, I mean, we're making assumptions, but come on, they honestly thought that there is no possible way anyone is ever going to see the top of Lady Liberty's head. I mean, they must have thought that. And yet, what did they do? They sculpted hair, or something that no one is ever going to see. No, impossible for anyone to ever see. And yet, of course, here we are, a couple hundred years later, and we actually get to see this. We actually get to notice it. We get to marvel at it. And for me, I just kind of marvel at that integrity, and I just marvel at that consistency to go the extra mile, not just to stop whenever it's convenient or whenever you think it's good enough, but just to go that extra mile. 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, the quality of each man's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For that day's fire will reveal every man's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If he survives, he will receive a reward. But if it burns up, he will lose it. So the bottom line here is that, again, we're not just working for our employer or for our clients or even the people around us, but rather that we are working for God. And God sees our work. And so really, as we wrap up, not only this morning, but as we wrap up our series on work, remember that we're working for God above all. And remember that whenever you show up at work, the things that you do or the things that you don't do, simply because you're a Christian, you represent God. And people are going to notice either way. And that, remember our calling about sticking out in the good way and about how we're to do things with excellence. And see, here's the thing, that the gospel that Jesus proclaims is not just supposed to be here on Sunday morning, but it's supposed to carry into Monday, into Tuesday and Wednesday. That the gospel is so radical that it changes our lives. It changes the way that we act 24/7. And then we get to shine the light of Jesus, and people get to see God, and ultimately he's glorified. And all God's people said, amen. And let us pray. Dear Jesus, indeed, we thank you for this series on work. And just what a blessing it is to pause and to get to really reflect on how, whenever we work, how we're serving you. And so, Lord, we pray that that as we reflect on this sermon here, that we're able to have integrity, that we're able to keep our word, and that we're able to have a positive attitude. And also, Lord, that we're just able to go the extra mile. And so, Lord, we pray that in our workplaces or in the people we serve, in our families and in the community, Lord, we pray that people ultimately see you through us. And all this we pray. Amen.